I'm at Warped Tour, and I'm talking to Josh and Paul Mark from Silverstein. You guys have done, as a band, Warped Tour 4 times before, and this being the 5th, of course, you being new. So, how does this year stack up to previous experiences?
Well, I would go ahead and say that this year seems overall like one of the friendliest years. There is quite a variance in the different types of band and artist, and it's nice to see everybody getting along for the most part and trying to be pals.
I think I saw in an interview Shane said that the camaraderie of Warped Tour is one of the things he likes most, and you said it's friendly so far, and that's good. Make any new friends this year?
We absolutely
have. I've made a lot of new friends, I would say, but there's also a lot of old friends on the tour, so, you know, then you meet your old friends' friends, and those are your new friends, and now everyone's friends, so who's my newest friend?
I mean, we went across Canada with the Wonder Years,
right,
on the way out to the tour, and made fast friends with them. I think we're going to be a pretty tight-knit group of pals after this, spending all summer together. Who else have we really buddied up with?
Wonder Years are... They're a big one.
They're a big one. Defeater just joined the tour a few days ago, and they didn't have a tent yet, and it was a rainy day, so we lent them one of ours. I think we're going to be pretty tight pals, too.
Because they owe us.
Yeah.
Forever,
we can
maybe.
Hold that over their heads, say you have to
there
be
are some
friend.
Production people. Our stage guys, Johnny and Caesar and Patrick and Honey Badger, and these are great people. That
wonderful group of people,
yeah,
working
really,
on
really
the stage.
Great.
Yeah.
So, I'd say that's a good list of new friends, and Defeater who are going to force to be friends with
we're
us.
We're going to hold it over their heads.
Yeah.
I just ran from their set to make it here, so... All right, so according to you, Josh, the first tour of 2013 was the best that you think the band has ever done.
That headliner?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the headline tour we did in January, February of this year was, I do believe, the best we have ever done. Again, like, fast friends with everybody on the tour, good pals... great shows across the nation. It was a wonderful experience. Your first full headlining tour with the band, how did you find it?
I thought it was great. I love this microphone setup, by the way. Really, really, really liking this. Yeah, got not a whole lot to add to that, actually. I think Fast Friends was definitely a good way to put it. The weather actually wasn't so bad, despite the time of year. It could have been a lot worse. Shows were great, well attended. We had just released the new record at that time, so, I mean, halfway through the tour it came out, and it seemed to go over swimmingly. So, say, good times had by all.
Felt like a breath of fresh air and, like, a new start for an old band, you know? It was a beautiful experience.
I was thinking there could be a lot of factors, and you kind of touched on that, having a new addition to the band and a great new album, This Is How the Wind Shifts, in stores now. Speaking of that... there were some difficulties, I guess, with A Shipwreck in the Sand being a concept album, and I guess Shane struggling to write some of that. What was the inspiration to come back with another one?
I believe it was mostly Shane's idea to tackle that sort of project again, and I guess he just felt like he had something that he could do better. It is a little different in that it's not like a linear storyline, as a lot of concept records, including Shipwreck, kind of were. It's more so snapshots of, like, moments in time and the ways that certain events shape your life and how they could have been different had they gone a different path. So it's just a general concept that he visits in different ways on the record.
Yeah, it's thematically consistent rather than being, like, a narrative or something.
I love how side A and side B.
Yeah.
Better on vinyl.
Well, one trick, This Is How, and then The Wind Shifts. I just put both files in Audacity and play them all at the same time. And
very tool-like.
Oh. Newsflash. No, actually, I was going to ask, were you guys listening to the Flaming Lips' Zyrica at the same time?
Yeah, we've had a few people bring up Flaming Lips, or what's the other one that did that? There's another one people keep talking about.
I mean, I like the Neurosis records that play off
yeah.
each other. There's it's been done a few times, for sure.
Quadrophenia, isn't that a thing?
Quadrophenia might
Maybe not.
I'm not sure.
That's a four banger that does some weird thing.
I don't know. It was just a neat thing for us to experiment with, and I think it came out pretty well.
I agree.
Me too.
All right, so there are a couple acoustic tracks on the iTunes edition and the deluxe edition. Does that mean you guys maybe write the songs initially acoustically, or did you adapt? Oh, you adapted them. Okay, we have a shaking of a head here.
Does not mean.
That's fine. All right, so going back in time, this will have to be directed at Josh here. Rescue was written over the course of a year, and as a result, I've heard you guys say maybe it was a little less cohesive. Now, this is how The Wind Shifts and all the other albums were written, I guess, within a specific time frame. Did you consciously do that to maybe have a more cohesive experience?
I think often it's just the way that our schedule works out. We tour most of the year and then take a chunk of time off in which we're off the road but not off from the band. We get together and practice and jam on things. So that's usually the reason why. I guess Rescue, we had just a bigger chunk of time and wrote it over a couple breaks rather than all at once. I think it is good to sit down and write a whole record at the same time, kind of, and keep your head in the game about it.
Yes.
He's always writing.
Yeah, constantly writing. But when you all get in a room, and it's easier to, I think, just stay in the same headspace. Yeah. And it's like, you can apply the same thing to touring. As you did like a weekend, like 3-day weekend tours for a whole year, you're not going to be as good as if you just do 40 shows in a row. But it's a lot easier to tour all at once. It's a lot easier to write all at once. I think it's just like section off your mind. Brains work that way, I think. You can't be
easier to focus on one thing.
Stay focused on one task and like you'll produce a better thing.
All right, so the band has never been afraid of cover songs, and that's an understatement. Let's see. Short songs, all these other record store day releases and everything. Working on learning anything else?
Talking about something right now.
Working on a little something like
for the
2
tour.
Minutes before we sat down, we were chatting about something. Maybe we can't talk fully about it yet, but
top secret for now. But
we love music. We're fans of music and bands in general, and I think we draw inspiration from listening and being a fan of music, you know. So it's always neat to.
So I mean, like when you're young and you cover your, you know, you're in your mom's basement or something, you cover your favorite band. That's a cool feeling.
Yeah.
It's cool to never let that go. Just like when it comes down to it, just you and some friends playing a song of a band that you love. It's a fun feeling.
It is actually kind of interesting because we never did covers. A lot of bands start by like getting together and jamming on covers. We always did original material for the first couple years, and then in the later, more recent years, we've really gotten into doing covers, and it is a lot of fun, and it does make you feel, whether or not we did it in this band, it makes you feel like when you first started playing, and that was how you learned about songs, basically, was picking apart other people's and learning them from the inside out.
What about doing, like, a cover of other bands on tour? Like, what if you did a ska cover? Like, a real good fish cover?
No comment. Cannot talk about that.
That
like you're hitting the nail.
Your head is in the right space.
All right.
I feel like there might be something happening with that.
Probably not a real big fish cover, although I would personally
would be
enjoy that.
We lack horns. We need some horns. Can't really do it.
Good idea.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way.
Bring somebody on stage.
See. We'll see. But I would say that's all.
Okay. We'll move on then. Speaking of Record Store Day, now I know Billy, your bass player, is a bit of a vinyl junkie. Does anyone else in the band collect the medium? Or
I think everybody has a little bit of a collection, but definitely some people much more than others.
Bill's definitely, Paul and Bill are the two guys, but Bill's on a whole other level. I live with Bill, and moving all that vinyl.
You live with his records,
I live with Bill's records. Like, moving all those records into my apartment was a nightmare that I hope to never relive. I hope he never moves. Or I'm just going to tell him I'm not going to help him. Actually, that's what I'll do. Never helping him move again. That's it. Sorry, Bill. You get one go. I will move those records. That's it. He's got a lot.
That sounds fair. All right. So why did the band re-record Smashed Into Pieces?
It's like covering yourself.
Yeah, I know. It was basically the 10th anniversary of that being released. It was the single from the record, I guess you could say, and we wanted to celebrate 10 years of Smashing to Pieces, 10 years of When Broken Is Easily Fixed. Thought it would be a fun project, and again, like a neat little way to update, and, you know?
And improve, I'll say.
Who knows? Hopefully. We went in and tried to play it basically exactly as we did originally, and
we had a big talk on an overnight train in Russia about what we were going to do, because I wanted to change it.
We were gonna muck with it a little.
Yeah, I wanted to just, like, make it a little different, keep it true,
but we decided not to do that. Straight up, so it would be a very accurate snapshot, I suppose, to be able to listen to them both back-to-back and just hear the growth of us as opposed to, and recording technology as well, I suppose, as opposed to be distracted by any variants.
It absolutely sounded better for a couple of reasons, but as you said, the recording quality, the growing as players, all that, but cool. So what else is on your plate for the rest of the year?
A break right after this.
Yeah, I'm going to take a big
long nap.
Mercifully,
yeah.
2-month nap.
Yeah.
And then we're going to probably be back around the States, go back to Europe before the year's over. More touring in the new year, and then hopefully a new record before you know it.
That's true.
Keeping moving is what we do. We just kind of keep on chugging along.
So, I always end interviews with this question. Stuck on a desert island, no hope of rescue, one album with...
It's the longest record. Or something that came with really elaborate packaging that I could fashion into some kind of raft.
It's kind of a cheat record, but I would say Bob Marley Legend. It's kind of a greatest hits, but that would do me very well, especially on an island. Hell yeah. Just lie on the beach and listen to that. Wait, do I get a way to play the record as well?
There's a download way to play it, but the older record players are cranked, so it could be on vinyl.
I have to answer this too. I feel like that's a really good answer, but...
It's a good answer for me. I don't know if it...
I'm going with... You got to prep me for a question like this so I can go Google, but yeah, I'm sticking with... some giant box set with really elaborate packaging so that I may fashion myself a raft to get off the island.
Because the box set was so big that the box was a boat?
Yeah.
That would be
basically
good.
Basically that.
Just sail out of there.
It's a good answer. Well, thank you so much for your time. And
thank you guys very much.